Is that praise the Lord? Yeah, that's on. Hello, it's good to be here again to share from the Word of God. I want to share with you today about closed door. And my aim today is not so much of teaching, but just to encourage, just for you to leave here and be encouraged in the Lord. And that's what I want to do. Closed door. With God, closed doors are equally as important as open doors. And that's something I want you to take with you also, that closed doors are equally important as open door. Did you ever had a great idea of wanting to do something good for God? You felt sure that this would bring glory to God, but it didn't work out? I don't know, maybe you wanted to be a great preacher, a missionary, a teacher, or something. You want to be a musician, a worship leader, something you want to do for God, but it didn't work out. Maybe you trained for a particular career, and after all you've invested in your training, and you've spent so much time, the door of what you wanted to pursue does not open for you. Maybe you want to reach a certain place in your career, and or you want to gain a certain place in a team, or you want to succeed, as I say, in some area of your ministry. Maybe you were in a good church, and you've spoken to the pastors and the leaders, and good and godly men just encourage you to pursue what you want to do, what's on your heart. And it, you look as it happened to other people, but for you, it didn't happen. You asked God to open the way, but for some reason you can't explain, the door of what you wanted to do remained closed. Why did God close the door on good things that was in your heart? And that's a tough challenge that as Christians sometimes we face, when God closes the door on something good you hope to do for him. There are two stories in the Bible that I just want to share with you today, and maybe we can just reflect on how, you know, those stories went and what we can learn from them. The first one is the story about King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to tell you the story. So this was a time, Daniel is in my head, but yeah. So David, having became king, he was, as you know, he was constantly in battle. But there was a time in his life when he had some rest from battle. And at the time also, he was given this great gift of a newly built house, a beautiful cedar. And one day he was having, not fighting battle, but have a time of rest. He was in his house relaxing, and he thought, actually, here I am in this beautiful house, but the ark of God is dwelling in a tent. I can't do that. So he called Nathan, the prophet, and told Nathan what was in his heart. And Nathan thought, what a good thing, David. Whatever on your heart, go and do it. And that very night, or sometime after, can't remember, but God spoke to Nathan, the prophet, and says, I want you to go and tell David, he is not the person to build me a house. And God give Nathan a message to take to David. It was a message with a long prophecy. It's not only you're not going to build a house, but there was a long other message behind that, which you can read in 2 Samuel 7. But David was withheld from that blessing. God says no to something good that even the prophet Nathan thought this was a good thing you want to do. But God said no, and the door was closed on him building the house. David would have, God wanted to say to David that actually you are not a temple builder, David. You are meant to be a warrior. You're a fighter. So your role and your calling for me is to be a fighter. And if you continue to read the story of David, you would realize that David spent many, many years of his life in battle, and those battles had to be fought in order for the God's people to be protected and secure, and in order for them to have a time of peace whereby the temple would be built, because you don't have great project going on during time of war. If there is war, big projects are put on hold, and God knew that, and he said, David, you're not to build a temple. You are the man of war. You're going to fight. You're going to bring this security and the protection that my people need. And that is your calling. So no to building the temple. So that door was closed on David. The second story I want to share with you is not in the Old Testament this time, but it's in the New Testament. It's found in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 to 10. And it is the story about Paul. And I just want to read a couple of about four verses, actually, from that Acts chapter 16. I'll start from 6. And it says, Paul and his companion traveled throughout the region of, Phrygia, and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Just to give you a little background of what I read there, I think most of you would know the story of Paul, how he became a Christian, and then he started preaching and teaching and sharing about the good news and spreading the gospel among the Gentiles especially. And Paul would have had an earlier missionary journey. And in his earlier missions, he was very successful. He preached the gospel in many cities, planted churches. Many were added to the kingdom because of his teaching. And Paul wanted to continue this. If you read from verse 1 to 5 in chapter 16, you would see that at this time, Paul, he had someone called Silas with him. And what they were going to do, they went back to some of the churches that they were planted in his earlier missionary journey. And he went there to strengthen them. And he was doing that, strengthening them through his teaching and preaching, and more people were added to the kingdom even then. And it was quite encouraging. I mean, he had his ups and downs before that, but overall, it seemed successful. Things were good. And in verse 1 to 5, you would also find that Paul found at that time young Timothy, who had a very good reputation. His mom, his grandmother brought him up in the fear of the Lord, and Paul recruited him to join his missionary team. So at this time, you have now Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And the three of them, they were going through a territory in the Bible called Asia. To put it in today's context, it is modern-day Turkey. So they were traveling through it. It's not the whole continent of Asia, as we know. It is modern-day Turkey, just that part as it is. And they were going through there. And in verse 6, it says, as they passed through the Phrygian and the Galatian region, they have been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. You see, when Luke says that the Spirit had forbidden Paul to speak the word, he is implying that Paul wanted to do so. And no doubt Paul would have shared this with his team. And the Holy Spirit says, no. It seems something good, but the Holy Spirit says no. I think Luke did not mention, but Paul was probably thinking of Ephesus, because that was the chief city in Asia. And that was a great commercial, very religious, cultural center. And, you know, they needed the gospel. So Paul was aiming to go there. But the Spirit says, no, don't preach the word of God there. So the Holy Spirit just postponed Paul's preaching there. I have to say, in God's time, Paul eventually went to Ephesus. He went there later on in his missionary journeys. So, having had a no to preaching the word in Asia, Paul and his team, they came to the other side, to Mysia. And they're thinking, we want to go into a city called Bithynia. Now, for the second time, the Holy Spirit intervened. And the Bible says that the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them to go to Bithynia. Again, Bithynia would have reached with the gospel in God's time. If you read in Peter, his epistle, in his salutation, in his first epistle, you would find that Peter took the gospel there later on. So Christianity was flourishing there later, but it was not Paul's place to go. And so the Spirit of the Lord says, no, don't go there either. So this missionary team, you have the three of them, having been forbidden by the Spirit of God to go to Asia and to enter to Bithynia, they were stuck. What are they supposed to do? You know, they had two doors closed on them. And I don't know what Paul was feeling like. He was the leader of the group, and he thinks he, I mean, I imagine he knows what he's doing, and you're having two no's. And the Bible didn't tell us how God stopped them or how God told them not to go in this place. Luke wasn't very specific. People have different reasons that they're thinking of, but it didn't say. But they knew it was the Spirit of God telling them not to. And they decided, actually, we can go that way now, we can go this way, so we're going to go straight ahead. And that's what they did. They went to a place called Tros, if I say that right. And Tros was the coast. It was the northwestern coast, I think, of, again, modern-day Turkey, to put it in context. And they came to the end. Now, it's like, almost, God, what are you doing here? So we have people on that side, and we have people on this side. But here we are with just the sea before us, and we're here, and we didn't hear from you. But I don't know when they were in Tros, how long it took before God spoke to Paul. It says in the night, so it could be the same night or several nights later, I don't know. But while they were at Tros, Paul had a vision. The Lord spoke to him of a man from Macedonia calling him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, Macedonia was on the other side of the sea, and this man was calling them and saying, come over to help us. And when Paul told his other missionary, his other team, what his vision was, they concluded that this is the calling of God, and they all agreed with that. Also to add, while they were at Tros, they met, it seemed, that Luke, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, joined them. So it could be another reason why they had to go there. I mean, he contributed to the New Testament, and he was with Paul as a personal doctor, and he was with them on this team, maybe very needful. So he joined them at that time. So when Paul had this message to go over to Macedonia, the Bible said that the team did not hesitate. They left immediately and went because they thought this is the calling of God. When they went over, because Macedonia was basically is Europe, and that was the first time that the gospel would have reached Europe. And it is quite a historic moment in the history of the church, because God is saying, my strategy for world evangelism was Europe before Asia. And we don't understand, but that was what God was saying to Paul. So they went. So I just share those stories because they both highlighted that sometimes God say no to some of our good intentions. Acts chapter 16 started off, with great hopes and dreams. It started off with open doors. Paul and Silas, they found Timothy, they're passing through the cities, strengthening the churches. Great numbers were added daily. And Paul had it in his heart to take the gospel to Asia. Seemed a very good and practical thing. They left planning to evangelize, but God said, no one closed the door. And I was just thinking, what was young Timothy thinking? This was a new Christian, maybe, first time on the mission field, and what he saw was disappointments and broken dreams, and I don't know what he was just thinking. We do like open doors, but I think we don't understand closed doors. Why did God say no? Why would God close a door for Paul to preach the gospel? And why would God stop David from building a temple that, you know, for him to worship? We don't find it easy to live with the mystery of God's wisdom. So sometimes we go looking for a reason, don't we? And when God closes a door on us, on something good that we want to do for him, our first instinct may be, I must have done something wrong, or maybe God doesn't really love me, or, you know, he doesn't care. But it's not necessarily that. Let's consider, let's consider Paul's story and even David. They had the right concern. In Paul's case, the people of Asia needed the gospel. They were wicked, they were in a sinful state, and they needed the salvation of God. This was the right concern he had. And as Christian, we should be concerned about the salvation of those around us. They had the right goal. Their goal, in Paul's case again, their goal was to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus as he commanded. Asia needed to hear the gospel more than ever. And they were aiming to do just this. And nothing seemed wrong about that, at least not from our perspective. And we should all have such goals as to spread the gospel too. And they had the right heart. They were willing to go, again, as Jesus commanded, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They had the right heart. We want to go and we want to share the good news. So why? And I'm so glad that these stories are in the Bible, because it speaks of a time in our lives when maybe the door does not open on something we want to do. And we're left wondering, why did God close that door? You know, a door may be closed for different reasons, but from the stories I tell you, I just want to give two reasons from that text. First of all, the door may be temporarily closed. Maybe God is saying it is not the right time. And if you go through now, it would be premature. For example, I mean, Asia, we know, would eventually hear the gospel. If you read the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, they're all in Asia. They're the churches in Asia. They heard the gospel. But what God was saying to Paul, that this was not the right time. This was not the time for Asia. This is Europe's time. That is my plan. So the door may be temporarily closed. And secondly, God is allowing that closed door because he has something better for you. Again, David wanted to build a house for God, but that house would have been a temporary house. And we know Solomon built it and it was destroyed. But God said to David, David, you want to build me a house, but let me build you a house, one that will last forever. Paul wanted to win some cities for Christ, but God's plan was not just a county or some city or a little country, but God had a continent in mind. Europe was never the same after that first visit. And if even 2,000 years after, Christianity has spread across Europe. That's because Paul and his team may obey God, and that was God's plan. And just like that, God is at work in our life. He's working in our life as well as around and the background. He has the full picture. And opportunities and doors will be open when the time is fully come in his time. And I just want to share some lessons that we can take from these stories that I share with you. And the first one is, God is sovereign and he does what he pleases. He is in charge. We are the clay and he is the potter. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." And since God is sovereign, in his wisdom, he knows and he sees the big picture. He's in control, and he's in control of both sides of the door. He is the doorkeeper. When he closes a door, no man can open. And when he opens a door, no man can close it. That's Revelation 3:8. And since God is in charge, he will take full responsibility for the result, and we can trust him to do that. Secondly, we need to be open to God's redirection. You see, even though there were places Paul and his team wanted to go, they were open to God's redirection. They listened to what God had to say. And yes, they were surrounded by great needs. They saw Asia, they saw Bithynia. Yes, they needed the gospel. But they listened to God. And I want to say here, not because there is a need means that it is your calling. It may be for someone else, or it may be for some time later. There would always be needs around us. And we need to always listen to the Spirit of God, because everywhere around us, there will be needs. And we need to know, what is it that God wants to do for us? And I got this quote from someone, I don't know who said, but it says, a need does not necessitate a call. It doesn't necessarily mean it is your calling. So listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. And as Christian, we need to hear what God is saying and be led by the Spirit of God. Thirdly, what do you do when the door closes? We look at David. David couldn't build a temple, but David didn't stop there. He says, okay. Yes, he had to fight battle, but he did what he could. He was preparing the material for the building. So he did quite, and he did that really well. He continued with the preparation. He got all the material that, so Solomon didn't have to go through that. He did that. He made all the preparation and get everything ready so it just could have been built. David continued with what he was able to do. Paul, when they were not able to go on either side to share the gospel and the doors were closed on Asia and Bithynia, they continue to travel on. We still want to take this gospel. God does not leave us without direction. But sometimes we do have to wait for it. And in the meantime, we're waiting for that direction. We need to continue to serve God and be faithful in what we can do or what we are doing for him. And he will give us that direction that we need. And fourthly, and finally, basically, I want to say that not until you walk through an open door and you look back that you will realize the necessity of that closed door. Sometimes you don't understand it, but when you look back, you will realize why the door was closed. And you will say, thank God, he brought me through this way. And remember that Paul and his team, they experienced two closed doors before God actually revealed Macedonia to them. And sometimes we need to be patient. We need to be patient in waiting for God. And I just want to conclude by saying, you may be looking at a closed door in your life right now or in your ministry. And you're wondering what God is doing. You may feel disempowered, you may feel discouraged, but I just want to remind you that God is sovereign. He's in charge. He is the doorkeeper. And when the Holy Spirit leads, we know we are acting in God's time and with his purpose. Very often we may wish to do very good things for him, but it may not be God's time, or you may not be the right person. And that is okay, because God still has a call for your life, and so you don't need to be discouraged. He alone knows the circumstance that prevail at any given time. And because of this, we can have full confidence in his guidance, and we can have full confidence in the leading of His Spirit. Just remember that God had a different plan for David, and He had a different plan for Paul and his team. It wasn't the plan that they thought. Maybe it wasn't the plan they wanted, but it was the plan God had for them. And we can sum up all of this with Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, "The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his step." And as we commit ourselves to the Lord, we know that He will lead us day by day. Thank you.